Tonight we're going to be talking about the topic is really an idiom. It's just beyond compare.
Beyond compare.
Beyond compare. Mm-hmm. And actually, before I get started, I did want to get a brown book that I'll look at in a little bit. So beyond compare. To get started with it, I actually want to talk about comparison. And we use like comparing things, comparing contrast, using it as a learning tool. We use it in life all the time. Like even right now, I'm pretty much going to be comparing a bunch of things in our lives that we use to use comparison. So we can compare things like music and art and food and say, oh, how good was that hamburger place compared to that other hamburger place? When buying a house, they have like comps or comparisons. And so if you're looking to buy a house, your real estate agent or whatever will look at comps in the area. So they'll look at something that's a similar price, your price range. It's looking at a house that is in that region that you want. And so it's a comparison to know, okay, what's that house going to look like? What can we do in that area? We do things like, you know, pursuing, when you're younger, we like decide who our friends are by comparing, like, what do they like? What do we like? Are there similarities there? And maybe we find friendship. There's other things like looking for a spouse that we're comparing, you know, one person to the next person, and thinking about personalities and looks and all those things. Maybe those things are very, like, you know, carnal, but these are things that we do. Even when we go to the grocery store, when we're shopping for produce, we compare and contrast. And there's a lot of that in our lives. We're constantly doing it. And I think at times, the comparison can bleed over into things in our lives that maybe are a lot harder. Like when we're comparing maybe achievement, like what have we achieved? When we look at accolades, when we look at, you know, different things in our lives, that kind of, I think when we're looking at that comparison, if it's unsettled in our lives, that can be the most unbearable comparisons that we take. It can really be damaging to ourselves if we're looking at something and saying, man, I really don't have that, you know, going on. And so comparison can be, you know, a little bit of a detriment when we're doing it, especially on ourselves and we're being critical of ourselves. But I want to go ahead and look, you know, after talking about all that comparison, I want to look at the Word and look at the Word of God. Main text we'll be focusing on is going to be 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we're going to kind of go all over the place. So I won't actually go into that right now, but you can turn there. But the word compare is used several times in the Bible, and the first couple times is in the Hebrew. One is dwama, and it means to compare, to resemble, to liken. And the other one is arak. And it's to set in a row and to arrange and put in order. You're kind of putting in an array. That particular word was used a lot in terms of battle. Like when they would go to battle, the one side would put themselves out in an array versus the other side and say, let's see what you got. You know, they're going to measure up against the other guys and see what's going on there. It also means to furnish, handle, to join. To ordain, to prepare, to tax, to value. And a lot of that, again, is like, in that sense, it's measuring up. It's saying, like, what's out there? What do we got? You know, that's kind of that particular word. And in the Bible, there's a lot of good comparisons. You know, God uses comparisons a lot to help us understand, because our minds are, you know, we're very simple-minded, you know. As much as the most knowledge that we think we could have is just, it's foolishness to God. We don't even touch anything when it comes to His wisdom without the Holy Spirit revealing that to our lives. So God uses these things in parables to help us understand. And that word, actually, parable, is one of the words that is compare in the Bible. So the word, the Greek word, parabolo, occurs twice, and it's in parables. If you turn to Mark 4:30, we'll read one of those parables. And it really is just, you know, a parable that is comparing the kingdom of God. So Mark 4:30, it says, "And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it?" And so both of those times, the comparison and the compare it, are that different versions of that word parabola. It says, "It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all the things to his disciples." So, Jesus had to use parables to speak to the people. He had to use it to speak to us. He had to use it to speak to the disciples, and then he had to explain it to them, because a lot of times, I'm sure all the times, they didn't necessarily understand it. Or didn't get everything out of it that God wanted to give him, that Jesus wanted to give them. And so we use this compare and contrast, this comparison of, you know, in this particular parable, this small mustard seed that is just a tiny little speck, the tiniest little speck that can grow into this amazing, flourishing, living thing that is massive. And it's just this tiny little thing. This tiny little speck. And he uses that mustard seed when he talks about faith as well. Yeah. If we had faith like a mustard seed, we could tell a tree to get uprooted and go somewhere. Yeah. And that would actually happen.
That's amazing.
And is it that we don't have faith? That we can't just do it? That we can't just say it? No, we have that faith. That faith is his faith. And we have that power. But he's showing how much power is in just that small understanding of it.
Amen.
We don't have to understand every aspect of that faith to have it. We just need that little amount. And so those were parables. Again, he had to expand on those things in terms of comparing and contrasting different things so that we could really lay a hold of them. And there's also examples of it in teaching. If you turn to 1 Corinthians 2:6, we'll read about some of this. Hi. It's okay. It's all good. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 2:7, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God have prepared for them that love him. But God have revealed them unto us by a Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The things we all shall speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. So it even moves past this base understanding, this, even past these words. And it's administering from spirit to spirit and comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. We're not talking about a seed in a plant. We're talking about faith. We're talking about God's kingdom. We're talking about Jesus and everything that he's giving us. I'll continue in that. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we can't compare spiritual with flesh. We can't compare this world to the things of God. It just doesn't compare.
Amen.
But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
So we have that. We have that to compare spiritual to spiritual with, again, the Holy Ghost as our teacher. Other comparisons and things that we're comparing, we're given examples or in samples. We follow after a pattern. There's those that have gone before us. There's those that have paved the way, built bridges, helped us, all under the hand of God. In Philippians 3:12, it says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. We have a pattern, clear pattern to follow after. And it's given by God. It's given by the Holy Spirit. It's in his word. I think of how blessed we are that we have a legacy and a heritage.
Amen.
And the pastors that we've had and that we have and the teachers that we have.
Amen.
And that we've had.
Yes.
And that path to get here is impossible. The path that God provided for us to get here so that we could follow this pattern. It's inconceivable what lengths God went to provide that. And I am thankful for my pastor Jesse. And I'm thankful for Brother Hill. And I'm thankful for my teachers, my Sunday school teachers. Thank you for you, Ty. And I can't express enough how grateful it is to be given the privilege to see what those steps are. And I'm not comparing flesh and flesh. I'm comparing spiritual with spiritual. And we walk in these steps. And they're the same steps. It's a pattern. It's been the same pattern over and over again. And these are the steps of Jesus. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, if we go to there. First Peter 2:21, it says, "For even hereunto we are called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." If we suffer with him, we're going to reign with him. It's a pattern. It's over and over again. But I think that part of the lesson here with this comparison, and I mentioned earlier, is looking at the things where there's maybe we're unsettled. Maybe we're not set in something. Maybe we didn't necessarily get to where we wanted to, or maybe we're not at the place where we want to be. We can't compare ourselves to ourselves.
No.
We can't do it.
No.
In 2 Corinthians 10:1, we'll read a little bit here. In 2 Corinthians 10:1, it starts out, "Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ." We can't do anything but in the meekness and gentleness of Christ. We got to go that way.
Oh,
we got to start out that way with everything in the meekness and gentleness of Christ. "Who in presence am base among you, but being absent, I am bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Again, this is all spiritual. We are so far away from this flesh. Right now, we are seated in the heavens. This flesh is nothing. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on the things after the outward appearance?" Do we compare on the outward? "If any man trust himself that he is Christ, let him think of himself. Think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's." We are Christ's. "For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us in edification, not of your destruction, I should not be ashamed." I'm not going to be ashamed. No matter what's happening in my life, no matter what God has put me in, no matter what error I've been in, no matter sin that I've done, I'm under grace. I'm not going to let that make me feel shame. I'm his choice.
Amen.
I'm God's choice. "That I might not seem as if I would terrify you by letters." I just think of Paul. They said he probably wasn't that great of a speaker, maybe not that great of a looker, maybe had some problems physically, definitely had some problems physically. But he could write, probably. I know he could. I don't know. How thankful are we that we have these letters, that we have this word of God through him? "For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Let such and one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they by the measuring of themselves by themselves and comparing themselves amongst themselves are not wise. So we can't, again, we can't compare ourselves what's going on here, especially when we're talking about the outward appearance. Each of our individual experiences are unique with God. It's not like a one-size-fits-all experience with God. He's made everything in our lives specifically for us. He gave us every aspect of our lives specifically for us. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to give these things to Tim and these things to James, and they're going to be exactly the same, and they're going to live through the same thing, and I'm going to get the same result. They're different. We are different in terms of our experience. But God's the same.
Amen.
He is the same God. And I think about this in terms of, like, even some of those parables. And we were talking about how we needed to be told something else to understand something. And I think about the parable of the talents, the 10 talents and the 5 talents and the 1 talent. And Ty's been talking about it. And I think that, you know, in sometimes, you know, we look at things like numbers. Like, oh, that guy got 10. That's awesome. That other guy only got 5. And then, oh, that one dude got 1. And we look at that and we say, oh, you know, kind of want to be in that 10 number, all right? You know, what's with that 5 number? Or what's going on there? But when we start looking at that aspect, when we start looking about those gifts in terms of what's given to somebody as an individual, we're taking our eyes off of God. We're looking and trying to compare this person's life to my life. And I can't do that. And I think about this talents thing, and I think about, what did God say he gave us? He freely gave us all things. So forget about 5 talents. Forget about 10 talents. He freely gave us all things.
Amen.
And what does he want from us in return from that? To grow up into all things. To grow up into that measure and that stature. When we start to compare and we compare those things, we separate ourselves. We kind of get into little areas. We start to say, you know, in the Bible it's clear, it's like one is Paul, one is Apollos. I'm over here, you're over there. We're not going to be on that same level because I'm looking at the outward and not looking at, well, I'm not even looking at what God is doing for me. What has God given me? He's given me everything. So if I'm looking at your stuff, I'm not looking at the everything that God gave me. And then we get critical. And I think, especially in comparison, there's stuff in our lives that we can get really critical on errors. And I when I think about this critical nature of, like, judging things like that, I think of, like, paintings. And not just like kid paintings or like, you know, schools of where people are painting, but masterpieces. And I think when you're looking at a masterpiece, you're not saying, like, man, what could have that person done differently?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked out. No, that's a masterpiece. That's completely finished.
Amen.
I don't need to, like,
Amen.
Like figure out what's wrong with it. All I need to do is look at it, appreciate
Amen.
It, take it in. And what would be the point of, like, comparing these masterpieces and going on beyond, like, just seeing what's wrong with them? What would be the point of comparing some of these masterpieces to other things? That's like comparing like a painting, like a Van Gogh painting, to a sculpture. That doesn't make sense. Why would we even do that? Are they both masterpieces? Are they both not perfect in their art and structure and what that artist has done for it? We can't compare those two. There's no point. And I think that that's when we're basically what we're trying to do is we're trying to, when we're in that world of comparing things that don't even matter, we're looking at like error and we're being critical instead of looking at heirs. We're heirs of God.
Amen.
And when we understand that we're looking at an error or a masterpiece, that goes away. It's gone.
Yeah.
And we just need to let it be gone.
Amen.
But we do have a measurement in our lives. And in that 2 Corinthians, going back to 2 Corinthians 10:12, we'll start reading there again. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commended themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves amongst themselves are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
There is only one thing that we can measure or compare. And that is the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And nothing compares to him. God is incomparable, incomparable. Psalm 89:6, it says, I'll turn there real quick. And I do love how David saw the Lord. And he saw the Lord. But in Psalm 89:6, it says, "For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord?" Can we compare anything to God? We can't. There's nothing. Isaiah 40:18, it says, "To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will you compare him to?" Again, there's nothing that we can compare God to. If you turn real quickly to Psalm 8:3, just a little back, we'll read something else. And this really gets my mind going in terms of just a few thoughts, but and just thinking about God and his wonders that he's created. Psalm 8:3. "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and with honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. I think about those stars and the heavens, and I'm a little bit of a space nerd, I guess. I like it. I like to look at the stars. And our Earth alone is huge. Like, the Earth is pretty big. There's so many places to explore here. I've been to different places in the world, and, you know, just going to different places, there's no way that you could explore, I mean, just a fraction of what's out there. And Ty, you've flown a lot of places, and I'm sure that still there's so much that you haven't even seen. And that's just the surface of the Earth. That's not even what's in the Earth. And then we think about our solar system and our sun and how big it is. And the sun itself, the sun is so big that it could contain 1 million Earths inside of it. And our galaxy, which we're in the Milky Way, contains about 4 billion suns, 4 billion stars. Or sorry, 400 billion. There you go. There's a number that we can't comprehend these things, you know, and that's why we have to use comparisons. But that's even just like in our galaxy. And at our galaxy's center, there's a star and a black hole or something, Sagittarius A, and its mass is 4 million times bigger than our sun. So as big as our sun is, this mass is 4 million times greater. And that's about 25,000 light years. So light traveling 25,000 years, 26,000 years. That's how far away it is. And that's our galaxy, Milky Way. And what we can see in this space, you know, from these telescopes, as advanced as they are, there are 200 billion to 200 trillion galaxies in our universe. He's created all of that. And he's given it all to us.
Yes, amen. Amen.
He's given us all things.
Amen.
We can't compare that.
That's right.
We can't compare that wonder. We can't compare that power. We can't compare that love that he has for us, that he freely gives us all things. We can't compare that mercy and that grace that he's given us. So we kind of hit a snag here. If the only thing that we can compare ourselves to is not comparable, how does that work? Like, we can't compare it to anything, and that's the fullness and the measure and the stature. That's the measuring. Well, it's because it's not us. It really isn't. It's not us. It will never be us.
Amen.
That's not the comparison. It's the life. We're given that life.
Yes. Amen.
That's the same life. That's the same spirit. We are one.
Amen.
So we're comparing that life to that life.
Amen.
It's Jesus and Jesus. It's that life that he's given us to live. We're not measuring ourselves. This is the life that we're given. It just needs to grow up. We just need to allow the Lord to allow it to make it into everything, into all things. And when we're given this life, we just, at some point in time, we have to get past this like comparison and this thought of understanding and just get in there. We just need to get in there. Yeah, at some point, you know, this flesh is going to be gone. Just going to be in there.
Yeah.
And I was not even intending to look at this, but then I ended up looking at Brother Hill explained it in his Philippians study, and just in the intro, I was reading it, and I'm like, that's the life, and he explains it as this, and he says, and this is in the introduction of the Philippians study. He says, you see, You have something, if you're a believer, that's triumphant over any and everything. In the doctrines of Romans, Galatians, Colossians, Corinthians, etc., the fruits of this man's life are seen. The doctrines are there and they're seen in his life. The difference of the method and approach, and again, I think he's comparing Romans, Galatians, Colossians, Corinthians, etc., to Philippians. The difference in the method and approach is like the study of a peach. We may go into a peach orchard at harvest time, and there we'll see the fragrant and beautiful fruit on the tree. We pick one and we're impressed with its taste and its beauty. We wonder, what is this thing that I'm eating? And how does it come to be? What is it? So we take it to the laboratory and examine its structure and its cellular secrets and so on. And on the one hand, we see it on the tree growing in its simple beauty, exhaling its own particular fragrance, free from scientific concern, and there it speaks to the heart rather than the head. That's what Christ does. He speaks to your heart. Amen. That is what we see in this book of Philippians. We see the peach. We can eat it. We can taste it. We can feel it. We can smell it. We can experience it. It's real.
Amen.
Something in the nature of that tree has produced that beautiful fruit. There was a seed there, and now we're seeing the result, the fruit of that seed, as it is produced, a tree and blossoms. And the many stages of that fruit. However, if we would know the secret of the peach, we find them in the truths of other epistles. You see, what is this life? And he's just saying how Paul is like the ripe peach hanging on the tree in the book of Philippians.
Amen.
And that's what can be produced in you, that life.
Yes.
Amen.
I can just hear him saying, isn't that a marvel? The chief of sinners ends up with this.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And really just finishes off saying, you have to grasp some of that, some of that extent, some of that universe, some of that galaxy, to understand the privileges that are ours, what we have in Christ. This life is that God has given us has always been beyond compare.
Amen.
There is no comparison to it.
Amen.
There really isn't. And that's where I'm going to look at that song, Pearl of Great Price. Goodly pearl. Thought I had it here. The goodly one. 156. And I'll just sing. I'll just say the. Definitely don't want to sing here. Say the chorus. My undefiled. My choice, my dove, none can compare with thee, my love. O pearl so fair, my bride, my friend, I'll love thee ever without end.
Amen.
There's nothing, as much as we see this universe and kind of like have a little bit like so small understanding of how big that is and those numbers. It's so out there. There's nothing to compare it to.
Amen.
That's how God, he sees us. There's nothing that compares to us, to him.
Amen.
There's nothing that he wouldn't do and hasn't done for us, for him. He He's given us everything that we need.
Yes, yes.
We are beyond compare.
Yes.
And it's all by His grace. Yes. And that is the study.